In our final quarter hour today, we're going to talk with Susan Parson from the Federal Aviation Administration. Susan is the editor of FAA Safety Briefing magazine, which can be found on the field in the FAA Information Center, which I got to tell you is an information-rich target for anybody who is looking to get lots and lots of content soaked up in a single place here on the field. Susan, welcome.
Thanks. I'm happy to be in Oshkosh and happy to be back with you guys.
I can tell you that Susan is an information-rich person as well.
Well, that's what I heard. You know, I embarrassed her last year when she spoke with us, and I played that cut of John King saying that what was the term that he used?
I don't remember. If you don't, then
It was something like bulldog, but
border collie.
Oh, no. One I'll own up to. I'm the chief border collie for the Airman Certification Standards Project, so I'm very proud of that title. I gave it to myself.
That's great. So today, rather than ACS, which I was really interested in talking about last year, the topic this year is what's current in FAA safety briefing. First, talk about the magazine, its intent, and who its readers are.
Absolutely. So this is one of my favorite things to do at the FAA. We write FAA Safety Briefing magazine to be the safety policy voice for non-commercial GA. The FAA necessarily focuses a lot of resources on the 121 world. You all just talked about that. But we also have resources for GA, and the magazine is specifically for that. Safety and regulatory content and FAA resources that are for the non-commercial GA community, and we absolutely want to encourage continued training and proficiency. So that's what we're aiming for.
Susan, I see the title of the most current issue is Round Up the Usual Suspects. I happen to know that that is a quote and a theme from a popular classic movie called Casablanca.
And there's a picture from the movie right on the right on the cover.
So what are some of the usual suspects, and how did we get this?
Okay, well, let's start with how did we get this, because this is the setup for me to confess that I stole it from you.
Uh-huh.
You knew that. Yes.
And now more people know it.
And now more people know it. Yeah, I knew that was coming. So, yeah, Paul and I both love the movie, and I found out that he does a presentation called Round Up the Usual Suspects, and when it came time for us to figure out how we were going to group together some topics that we needed to address, it was just an obvious one. And we try to frame content for the magazine in ways that are engaging and captivating, because having information is great, but if it's not interesting to people, it doesn't help.
The subhead the subhead for the title is Corralling the Common Causes of GA Mishaps.
Yes.
So the articles talk about maintaining aircraft control, avoiding wrong surface operations, not doing VFR into IMC.
Fuel starvation, fuel management.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one. The fuel starvation one, it's very easy to sit on the ground and say, oh gosh, I would never do that. But, you know, I can tell a story on myself, which I frequently do. I caught myself one time trying to press the fuel limit because, gosh, I didn't really want to stop. And what finally stopped me was I tried to imagine what the NTSB report would look like if I ran out of fuel and crashed on the way back from a successful CFI instrument instructor check ride, which I had just done. So,
wow, that's a sobering thought.
It was. Yeah. And it got my attention, but we talk about all of those things. And then we have an article in there that called Thinking for Two. It is a take on one of the lines in the magazine, but it's about instructional risk. The fact that when you're teaching, you really have to do all the thinking, certainly at the very beginning. You're trying to teach and teach the pilot the skills and the attitudes necessary, but also to manage the risk of instructional flight. I mean, you got traffic around, you got all sorts of things going on, so that's what we did. And by the way, speaking of lines in the movie, we've embedded quite a few lines, either directly taken or indirectly from the film, in the articles and titles. And we're running a little informal contest to see how many people can identify them, with extra credit for speaker and scene.
Ooh, and how are you collecting the entries here?
Well, we have a number of ways to provide feedback through our Twitter feed, also through the FAA safety briefing mailbox, which is in the magazine. So lots of different ways to communicate that to us. That also means I'm going to have to go through and take count of them because I'm not sure I have done that yet.
Okay, so it's in the magazine. I'm flipping through it here. So
You need to watch the movie, Mike, and pay attention to every scene and every line, and then read the magazine, and I think you'll be impressed with how well they were able to draw the content.
I can see it already. Is that my runway?
There was a line in there, in the movie where there are some sections of New York I wouldn't advise you to invade, and so we had a subhead in there. There's some runways, some pieces of the airport we would not advise you to invade, that sort of thing. So we had a lot of fun with it, but again, we're trying really hard to find an engaging way to get people's attention on really what are the usual suspects of accidents and incidents that we would like to. We really would like to eliminate these particular suspects.
We're talking with Susan Parson, who's the editor of FAA Safety Briefing magazine, which is available in hard copy on the field at AirVenture 2018 at the
FAA Safety Center.
Great. So there are also back issues that are available a couple of different ways. Mm-hmm. Some, you said, are available at the FAA Information Center. Also available online, right, as
Absolutely.
PDFs?
Well, not just as PDFs. We have several electronic formats available.
Great.
And you can probably get hard copies through the FAST team of some back issues. But on the webpage, the magazine's main webpage, there's a link that says archived issues, and it goes back several years. You can download whatever you need from, in some cases, specific articles or whole issues.
So, Susan, I know you're the editor of the magazine, but you also are the author of several articles per month. It must be a bit of a daunting task to get a magazine like this put together on such a regular basis. Tell us how that works.
Oh, we have a good team. We spend several months in advance. We plan out issues. We have the editorial content. We have focus issues because we're aiming for shelf stability. We want to provide reference issues that will last for a while. We divide up who's going to do what. We settle on the theme, that sort of thing. And then we sit down for the hard work of writing. And let me tell you, there's a reason they call that blinking thing on your computer the cursor. There are times when you really have to think about what in the world am I going to say this time? And one time several years ago, we were doing something on Small Airplane, Big World, I think was the theme. And I was trying to think what to write. And all of a sudden, it was summertime. I could hear the ice cream truck, you know, that small world after all. And bing, that was the inspiration. I started writing an article about it's a small world after all. Who knows where inspiration is going to come from?
One of the articles in the July-August edition, so I'm guessing six issues a year, is that how you're doing it? Okay. In the current issue, is called Master of My Fate, Maintaining Aircraft Control, and this is one that you wrote. And so most of the article talks about how we have traditionally taught people about stalls in ways that will cause them to get themselves into an attitude where the stall horn is on and the risk of the procedure involves ignoring the stall horn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is the discussion about slow flight, minimum controllable airspeed, stalls.
Right.
Well, and the point is that this has changed now under Airman certification standards, and is that right? There's a different way of teaching, and there's a lot of debate around whether the old way was better than the new way.
Well, yes, exactly. It actually changed 2 years ago with the first Airman certification standards, but it would have changed even if we'd kept the PTS because there's something that says the definition of insanity is to do the same thing and expect a different result.
Yeah.
So we decided to take a different tactic, and the whole what was called minimum controllable airspeed, that particular flight condition, it hasn't gone away. It's just been it was always part of power on and power off stalls, full stalls. But now there is a specific requirement in the ACS for the pilot to acknowledge that flight condition. So we framed it in terms of this is not something that you should hear and disregard. You should be aware of it and acknowledge it. And if it's not intended and briefed, you should do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the old way of doing stall training, we can debate this in many different ways. But it's curious to me, when I learned to do stalls, probably like every other private pilot, we go up to 5,000 or 6,000 feet, and the instructor would say, here, we're going to do stalls. See, this is fun. It's easy. You can be comfortable doing this. There's nothing to be afraid of. But in fact, that situation should be reviewed at, or should be regarded as an emergency. We should not be comfortable with the idea that stalls are okay. We need to work more on anticipating the condition. And I think that's what you're getting at with the new way of looking at slow flight.
Exactly. Anticipate, acknowledge, do something about it. You know, one of our community colleagues came up with the slow flight, as it's now framed in the ACS, as a normal flight operation, which is in the traffic pattern. But abnormal is the flight condition that I refer to as MCA, minimum controllable airspeed. And if you have an unbriefed, unintended stall, it's an emergency that requires prompt and correct action to get the airplane back under control.
And not ignoring the stall horn.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I found myself in a lesson not too long ago doing exactly that a few feet over the runway.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. So we're trying to make sure that we're changing habit patterns into a correct way. But obviously, training in all regimes of flight is still absolutely expected and encouraged.
Yeah.
Hasn't changed.
Susan Parson is the editor of FAA Safety Briefing Magazine, and thank you for coming in to talk with us about what's in the current issue.
It's a great pleasure to be here, and I have a present for you. I have a couple of the back issues, one on basic med, and since you're a student pilot, our student pilot's guide.
Outstanding.
So
thank you
enjoy.
So much. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Susan.
Paul Prydecker, this is the end of our last live show this year. My goodness.
It's gone fast, but it's been a great week, and I'll look forward to next year.
I so appreciate you agreeing to do this with me. It's a great, great deal of fun. On the Fly is next on EAA Radio. Stay with us.